we're failing. And the minute we failed is the minute we canceled a surgery that somebody needed to stay alive without really understanding what that might do to their cancer prognosis. That's failure.
Doctors suggesting our healthcare system is sick. The painful plea from those who've spent a year on the front line. Why they say protection isn't getting to those who need it, and they're warning to every Ontarian.
That rise in urgency coming amid a drop in the recommended age of eligibility to 30 for those able to get the AstraZeneca shot. But younger people in this province will still have to wait. Good evening. Nearly 2,000 doctors are united in their call. Ontario is in trouble.
Their demand for action based around bringing help to the most vulnerable. We begin our coverage with CTV's John Musselman. John.
Well, Michelle, what we heard from the doctors today was very powerful. There's obviously some frustration here, but we should also keep in mind that the province of Ontario and the city of Toronto are already set to act on some of these recommendations, including tripling the amount of people who are vaccinated in hot zones like this here near Jane and Finch. A massive lineup at this pop-up clinic in Scarborough today. It's a scene that has been playing out in hotspots right across the city.
Our postal code had 2 days, so we figured, yeah, it's going to be a lot of people, so we have to come early.
I mean, I'm glad that I'm getting the vaccine, but there's still many other people that haven't gotten anything.
And that has frustrated a group of doctors who claim the government is failing the people who need the shots the most. After 3 successful days of a pop-up clinic at the Driftwood Community Centre, today there was nothing but an empty parking lot.
The only word that I have for seeing this parking lot empty today is unforgivable. It's unforgivable. This can't happen.
The doctors held a news conference at the front doors. They say all available vaccines need to be redirected into hot zones immediately.
And really what we need is both Toronto Public Health to shift their vaccines from their mass vaccination centers.
They also expressed frustration with the vaccine registration sites. Too many options, too confusing, and unfair to essential workers.
When you have vaccine appointments that open up at 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. and everyone that's essential is at work, they don't have time to sit there and refresh their web screen to try and get that appointment.
This father has been trying to get his daughter vaccinated. They are on vaccine websites every day and constantly tracking social media for pop-ups, but they keep striking out.
They said they have the appointment, but then they close and then they cancel.
A grassroots group of 1,800 doctors have written an open letter calling on the government to readjust the plan.
We don't want to be here right now. This is not my job. I'm a cancer surgeon. My job is to take out cancers. I'm not really that comfortable speaking in public and raising my voice, but they're not acting. We need it now.
The open letter, translated in 8 different languages, includes the following. Remind the public that it is still risky to go into stores and other indoor settings for longer than absolutely necessary. Encourage people to continue masking, staying home, and stay away from people outside their household. And the government needs to provide clear, practical, current, and reliable guidance for all Ontarians, whether they've been vaccinated once, twice, or not at all. And Mayor John Tory has said he's been assured by the province of Ontario that they will see a boost in the vaccine supply that they will hopefully be able to bring into these neighborhoods within the next 2 weeks. Reporting live, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back to you.
Thank you, John. Ontario says it doesn't have enough supply, so for now it's going to keep the same age guidelines for use of the AstraZeneca vaccine.
The National Advisory Panel on Immunization revising its advice again to include Canadians 30 and up. CTV's Glenn McGregor reports.
Ontario residents age 40 and up are now eligible, including one recognizable Ottawa couple.
I am very excited.
The Prime Minister and his wife received their AstraZeneca shots at a pharmacy a block from Parliament Hill. On the day, Ontario disclosed its first case of a rare but dangerous side effect. A man in his 60s received medical treatment for blood clots after getting the AstraZeneca shot. He is now recovering at home. Despite concerns about clotting, the Advisory Committee on Immunization today lowered its recommended age of eligibility.
NACI recommends that the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine may be offered to individuals 30 years of age and older without contraindication.
There are also concerns about doses coming to Canada from a facility in Baltimore, Maryland. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration found unsanitary conditions, untrained workers, and contamination of doses at the plant. Not a problem for Canada, the government believes.
This is an issue that we were immediately in touch with the supplier about, and the supplier assured us that these issues had not been affected.
Canadian officials today offered new modeling showing that pandemic restrictions could be eased beginning in July or August if 75% of Canadians get a shot and if 20% get both doses.
The more people that get vaccinated, the safer it will be to lift restrictive public health measures.
The federal government today said it had reached an agreement with Pfizer to buy up to 125 million booster doses over the next 2 years, suggesting an even longer siege against the virus.
And there is certainly a hope that booster shots might not be necessary. But we are much better off to ensure that we are prepared in case they are.
Even though the immunization committee lowered the age for AstraZeneca to 30, it's up to each province to act on that recommendation. Ontario says it doesn't have enough vaccine supply for younger people, at least not yet. Glenn McGregor, CTV News, Ottawa.
And you can read more from the federal recommendations on our website, including comments on mRNA doses. That's at ctvnewstoronto.ca/vaccines.
Toronto has passed the 1 million mark for vaccines administered. As the province says, 1 in 3 adults have now received at least one dose. More than 133,000 shots were given across Ontario on Thursday. 4.4 million doses have been administered since the vaccination campaign began. And more than 355,000 people are considered vaccinated after receiving both required doses.
CTV's Queen's Park Bureau Chief Colin DeMello is next with what new modeling is showing us about the spread of variants and the other provinces coming to Ontario's aid. Colin.
Yeah, those variants of concern now make up more than 60% of all cases discovered in Ontario. And while the province is welcoming the news about AstraZeneca, it says it can't lower the threshold just yet to 30 plus. But they now have new benchmarks when it comes to vaccinations, and that gives them new hope. As more Canadians build up their COVID-19 immunity, the country is presenting a path forward. When 75% of adults receive their first shot and 20% of adults are fully vaccinated, the country can begin to loosen the public health measures.
One, two.
Ontario is well on its way to reaching that target.
A 1 in 3 adults in Ontario now have at least one COVID-19 shot.
Today, another 133,000 people received their initial dose, and 33% of eligible adults have now received their first shot.
We can draw hope in the fact that we're vaccinating more Ontarians. We have these benchmarks. People can start to see getting back to normal and light at the end of the tunnel.
But the province is still fighting its way through the ugly realities of the pandemic. Another 4,500 new cases today, a total of 813 COVID patients in ICU. Badly needed help is now on the way.
We've identified up to 100 healthcare professionals, like ICU nurses and doctors, who can be deployed rapidly from federal departments to places they're needed most, including the GTA.
Ontario has reached out to other provinces for more than 600 healthcare workers. Today, New Brunswick answered that call for help.
I'm very pleased that 27 people have volunteered to come and assist as they can.
Well, that's a massive, massive help. And again, we're very grateful, and God bless the people of New Brunswick. Champions. Absolute champions.
To avoid worsening the situation, the province is now working on a paid sick leave program for employees. The Ford government has said, however, that business owners won't carry the burden, suggesting employees would have to forfeit their pay before recouping the costs from the provincial and federal governments, which critics say would be a mistake.
Paid sick leave is needed now, it's needed urgently, and it has to be funded, especially during the pandemic, by the provincial government.
The province has not provided a timeline for when that program will be ready. And the province also wasn't willing to put a timeline on when they'd be able to vaccinate 70% of all adults in Ontario with at least the first dose. The federal government is saying, though, that easing restrictions too early in the summer could lead to another wave sometime in the fall. Reporting live, I'm Colin DeMello. Now back to you.
All right. Thank you, Colin. Just ahead, pregnant people now prioritize for a vaccine. The relief for many as hospitals see a surge in serious COVID cases involving those who are expecting.
Looking at the broader picture, Ontario has reported its third highest case count of the pandemic, confirming 4,505 new infections over the last day. That means more than 437,000 people have tested positive since the outbreak began. 34 more deaths are linked to the virus, putting that figure at 7,863. And more than 387,000 illnesses are now considered resolved.
In Toronto, 1,257 new infections are logged. Peel Region is setting its own daily record with 1,232 new cases. 412 cases are added in York Region, 224 in Durham Region, and 179 in Niagara. Halton Region has 144 new cases, with 135 in Hamilton. For some, it's still hard to fathom even getting to this point. Field tents set up and ready to go in a hospital parking lot.
Soon, patients will be treated inside with health facilities stretched beyond capacity. CTV's Beth McDonnell is live outside Sunnybrook with more. Beth.
This field hospital is set up for 84 beds, but can be expanded to 100. But consider some of the number of people going into our ICUs with COVID-19. 70 new admissions listed today, 60 new admissions listed yesterday, which is a big reason why our system is so stressed. The field hospital at Sunnybrook is a symptom of our ailing health system, almost at the ready. 20 beds here will be available by the end of the month, some by the end of the week, to desperately free up acute care spaces. Right now, hospitals are stretched so thin. Patients are being transferred around and out of the GTA by the dozens daily, through the air and on this ICU bus. 80 patients moved alone on Orange yesterday, the highest number of transfers, it says, in a single day this year.
A functional society requires a functional healthcare system. We're failing. And the minute we failed is the minute we canceled a surgery that somebody needed to stay alive.
Ontario Health says it can't provide the total number of surgeries postponed because of COVID-19, but numbers do show a significant slowdown. Between March of last year and April of this year, around 487,500 cancer, adult, and pediatric surgeries were completed. That's compared to nearly 706,000 in the same period pre-pandemic, meaning back then more than 218,000 surgeries were performed compared to now. It's stripping the ability of some doctors to save lives.
These people that are being diagnosed with cancer today need to ask our government, why? Why is manufacturing and making a sofa more important than having my cancer removed?
ICUs never fully recovered from the second wave. The crunch in hospitals now not likely solved soon, even with a decline in cases.
The hospitals will not empty. The ICUs will not empty.
Sunnybrook says the field hospital will be used to care for patients who have recovered or nearly recovered from COVID, waiting to go home. And it should only be used as a last resort. Sunnybrook says that last resort is when there are no beds within hospital buildings. Beth McDonnell reporting live. Back to you.
All right. Thank you, Beth. Lindsay Morrison here with a look at the current conditions. Today, really the best day to get outside.
I'd say so. In a week that we had just about everything, we had some snow, we had some cold temperatures and some rain as well. This was a really lovely way to end off the week. Look at the current temperatures. 17 degrees in Brampton, 15 in Innisfil, 16 in the core at the lakes. And currently in Toronto, it is actually milder right now at the Toronto Islands than it is at Pearson International. And we're looking at a pretty comfortable evening overall. It is, however, quite windy outside. We are talking gusts upwards of 50 kilometers per hour in some areas coming out of the west. But all is still pretty clear on the satellite and radar. We're starting to see a little bit of an increase in cloud. And this weekend, we have a chance of showers. I'll show you when coming up. For now, Nathan, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay. Coming up, stepping across the border and jumping through pandemic hoops in the process. Why some are choosing to enter Canada by foot to step around certain quarantine rules.
Well, new rules are in effect across Toronto and Peel Region to stop the spread of COVID-19 at workplaces. Any business with five or more recent COVID cases will be required to close for 10 days. The local medical officers of health used their powers under the Health Protection and Promotion Act to mandate those shutdowns. Public health officials say the closures will give them the chance to investigate likely outbreaks without the risk of continued spread.
Meanwhile, passenger flights from India and Pakistan are no longer touching down in Canada.
Some families here in the GTA wondering about loved ones still looking for a way back to this country. CTV's Scott Lightfoot is live at Pearson Airport tonight with more. Scott.
Well, Michelle, there are some concerns that the restrictions announced late yesterday don't go far enough. Concerns that travelers from both India and Pakistan, two areas that have been hard hit by COVID, can still get into Canada through a third-party country. And some concerns that international flights are being allowed into the airport at all.
At this restaurant on Girard Street, Varsu Rishi is thinking of her homeland.
It's affecting me so much because my own family is stuck there in India.
Rishi's husband and children were supposed to be moving to Canada to join her.
They already got their tickets booked, but they can't fly because of these restrictions.
Just talked to them yesterday and they were crying and they were very confused with that.
Working just down the street, Mit Patel worries about his roommates.
It was a medical emergency they have to visit and now they got stuck there.
They are among the Canadians now scrambling to find a way back to this country after new restrictions introduced late yesterday by the federal government banned commercial flights from India and Pakistan.
It has been clear over the past couple of weeks that there is a disturbing pattern of a much higher caseload from India and Pakistan than from other countries.
That pattern included the fact that while one-fifth of all recent air travel to Canada was from India, travelers on those planes accounted for more than one-half of all positive COVID tests at the border. For the second day in a row, India has set a global record for the most new COVID-19 infections, with more than 330,000 confirmed cases. Add to that concerns over the B.1.617 variant.
I think the decision is appropriate because of the rising COVID cases in India.
For the safety of the people, it's important that the government should ban the flights.
Travelers on board the last commercial flight from India to land at Pearson Airport for at least the next 30 days agreed with the new rules. But some people worry it doesn't go far enough.
People can come through other countries, through third-party countries. And the airlines did this with the UK variant, right? We stopped UK direct flights, and it took Air Canada only a few minutes to reroute its passengers through Frankfurt, New York, and Boston. So this is not a hypothetical. This is what the airlines will do. This is what we will be facing. We need to stop passenger traffic, not for months, but for weeks.
For those now separated from their family in one of the world's hardest hit COVID hotspots.
We thought that 2020 is bad, but I think that 2021 is much worse than the 2020.
It is yet another thing to worry about.
Global Affairs Canada says there are just under 20,000 Canadians in their registry of Canadians abroad in India, just under 7,000 in that registry who are in Pakistan. But there's no way of knowing just exactly how many Canadians are visiting those countries and how many of those Canadians want to come home. Reporting live at Pearson, I'm Scott Lightfoot. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Scott. Meanwhile, tight restrictions are still in effect for those traveling between Canada and the U.S.
But for those crossing by foot, there are different rules, and it seems people are taking advantage. CTV's Sean Lethong reports.
Crossing the border into Canada right now can be a simple stroll across a bridge.
Can you tell me where you're coming from?
Florida.
Brooklyn, New York.
We came from Alabama.
While the Rainbow Bridge in Niagara Falls is closed to most vehicles, foot traffic is steady.
As two doubly vaccinated people, we flew to Buffalo and walked across the border.
And it's common to see people cross luggage in hand. For Carla Sanderson and her wife, this was better than flying.
Well, we originally planned to do that, but then we thought we'd save the money and save 3 days and get to be quarantined with the family.
With a ride waiting on the other side. If they had flown, they'd have to spend time in a COVID hotel costing a few hundred dollars at the least.
That was the cheapest way for me.
Junior Roberts is coming back from a business trip. He took a taxi to the border.
You got to take a COVID test. And you got to take another one in 8 days.
There is a steady flow of taxis that cross and drive right up to the COVID testing site for those who are arriving. Once the test is complete, they're in, though some are a little apprehensive.
Just asking people about the process and everything. Do you mind if I ask you about it?
No, I don't trust that.
Making their way to a waiting vehicle. So you may call it a loophole, but no matter what you think of this process, the fact is that as it stands right now, walking across this bridge is perfectly legal. The current rules for land border crossing are that travelers must provide proof of a negative COVID-19 test. They're tested at the border. They're given another test to take 8 days after arrival, and they must isolate for 14 days.
Very smooth, no problems.
And some who are arriving can't help but comment that life is different south of the border.
Everything's not shut down, you know, so it's... You see a little more happiness over there, I'll just say.
Making this walk the simplest part of a complex reality. Sean Lethong, CTV News.
There's relief for those who are expecting in this province.
Pregnant women now considered a priority for a vaccine. CTV's Janice Golding reports.
Lisa Faulkner lives with type 1 diabetes, and her pregnancy is considered high risk. So seeing a recent surge in severe COVID-19 cases involving expectant people has been unnerving.
All of a sudden, you're hearing about all the risks and all the risk and all the risk.
That's why the 35-year-old was relieved when the province moved pregnant people into the highest risk category, meaning as of today, they are being prioritized for vaccinations. Faulkner will get her shot next week.
The anxiety is still up there, but I feel better.
The Society of Obstetricians and Gynecologists had called for pregnant people to be moved into the high-risk category, citing a wave of pregnant patients filling ICUs and requiring ventilators.
The chance of a pregnant person becoming very sick, ending up in intensive care unit, etc., is between 4 and 8-fold higher than a non-pregnant person.
Dr. John Barrett, chair of the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at McMaster University, says immunity is suppressed during pregnancy, and as a fetus grows, it reduces lung capacity.
And so it shouldn't have been a surprise, but when you actually see it happening, it's terrifying.
So he says he's excited the province has reacted to the data. So too is Natalie Baker, who is 33 weeks pregnant.
So I was really relieved to hear that this morning we were finally bumped to the top of the list.
This morning, Baker booked her vaccine appointment for May the 6th.
I'm thrilled that it's going to happen, but to be completely honest, I do have some hesitancy.
Dr. Tally Bogler says this reaction isn't unusual.
People are nervous about the vaccine. I think that's completely understandable.
While she suggests those who are expecting talk to their doctors for reassurance, the chair of family medicine obstetrics at St. Michael's Hospital also says studies are showing the vaccines are safe.
Really at any trimester. And I think given how highly prevalent COVID-19 is right now in Ontario, we would urge really any pregnant individual to get the vaccine when they can.
And Dr. Barrett strongly echoes that sentiment.
My plea to pregnant women is don't hesitate. It could save your life. Go and get the vaccine.
You can book your appointment over the phone or through your local public health unit. Janice Golding, CTV News.
And a reminder, our online team has a full rundown of those now eligible for a vaccine and where doses are being administered. You can find that information at ctvnewstoronto.ca/vaccines. Today marks 3 years since Toronto was the site of a horrific and deadly attack that changed the city forever.
COVID-19 precautions meant crowds couldn't gather to mark the anniversary of the Yonge Street van attack. But officials say the tragedy is far from forgotten. 10 people were killed on the afternoon of April 23, 2018, when a man deliberately drove a rental van down a crowded stretch of Yonge Street in North York. 16 others were injured, many of them catastrophically. At a ceremony this morning, Mayor John Tory said the victims and the harm they suffered will not be forgotten. He also spoke about the hateful ideology that motivated the attack.
Make no mistake, these lives were robbed at the hands of misogyny and hatred for women. It is in this recognition of what lay behind this tragedy that we are able to truly fight against this and any form of hatred in our city. It has absolutely no place in the city of Toronto, and we must all fight it wherever and whenever we see it.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau tweeted, 3 years ago today, an attack on Torontonians shocked people across the country. Our thoughts continue to be with the families and friends of the 10 people who were taken from us on that dark day. We won't ever forget them. We are here for you. Hashtag Toronto Strong. Alec Manassian was convicted last month of 10 counts of first-degree murder and 16 counts of attempted murder. He has yet to be sentenced.
Toronto police have arrested a former doctor as part of a sexual assault investigation, and they're concerned more victims could be out there. 77-year-old Jacques Henry Dubins worked at a medical clinic at Bathurst and Lawrence between 1970 and 2016. He is accused of sexually assaulting a 17-year-old boy who was his patient in February of 2006. Dubins is charged with sexual assault and sexual exploitation. Anyone with information is asked to contact detectives.
In Minneapolis, a date's been set for the sentencing of Derek Chauvin. The judge who presided over the case will make the announcement on June 16th. The former police officer was convicted on Tuesday of three charges of murder and manslaughter in the death of George Floyd. But under Minnesota statutes, he will only be sentenced on the most serious charge, second-degree murder. It carries a maximum sentence of 40 years. Chauvin pressed his knee on Floyd's neck for more than 9 minutes during an arrest last May.
We may not be able to do too much these days amid the stay-at-home order, but it's been yet another eventful week of pandemic-related news. It's time for Overview with Evan Solomon. And Evan, more changes vaccine-wise this week, new recommendations and eligibility for the AstraZeneca shot. We saw popular pop-up clinics in hotspots. The Prime Minister even now has his first shot.
Yeah, he got his AstraZeneca. Sophie Gregoire got hers today. Actually, I got mine this week, the AstraZeneca. But this was interesting because today the National Advisory Committee on Immunization lowered eligibility from 50 to 30 plus. But they did it with a weird message to add to confusion about this. They said, you know, if you're 30 plus, you can now take AstraZeneca. But I'm going to read this to you. If you do not wish to wait for an mRNA vaccine. An mRNA vaccine is Pfizer and Moderna. Well, are they signaling that there's two kinds of vaccines, the better ones, the Pfizer and Moderna? And, you know, if you don't want to wait for that, take the AstraZeneca. I actually asked Dr. Caroline Quash, the head of NACI, and she said, look, we have a preferred one. The Pfizer and the Moderna are our, quote, preferred ones. There's lower risk. But if you're in a hot spot, take the AstraZeneca. But does that add to what we don't need now, vaccine hesitancy?
And Evan, aside from the Ford government's reversal of certain controversial measures, this week we've been getting bits and pieces confirming the province is going to do some kind of paid sick leave program. We don't know exactly what. What are you hearing on that front?
Well, remember, this is the Ford government first got rid of the two paid sick leaves 2 years ago that were already in Ontario and replaced it with three unpaid days. They've always said the federal government's program, which now provides $450 after tax for 4 weeks to workers, that was during the pandemic, was enough. Then there was the great Ford flip-flop on that at the press conference where he apologized. I'm told, and I just spoke to an MPP there who's involved in these discussions, that in the coming weeks, what they are thinking of doing is simply adding money to top up the federal money right now. So they'll add money as opposed to doing what other options are. For example, the province has the jurisdiction to force employers to actually pay for a paid sick leave for employees. But some small businesses don't like that. The Ford government has always been opposed to that. So I would look for a couple of weeks, a top up on the federal money. But the details of this are going to be critical.
Mm-hmm. Evan, thank you. And glad you got your first shot.
Well, we all got to get. I hope you get yours, Michelle.
I'm waiting. Take care. Have a great weekend.
You too.
And a reminder to join him on Sunday for CTV's Question Period and weeknights for Power Play on CTV News Channel.
Still to come, two drugs have been proven effective in saving the lives of patients with COVID-19. Now, doctors are calling on them to be used more to help limit hospitalizations. We've got the details coming up.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, due to the pandemic, people are spending more time at home and some are going through basements and closets looking for old trading cards. eBay Canada says the number of people selling sports and Pokemon cards has more than doubled. I'll have my report just ahead.
What a difference a day makes. Yesterday, we were talking about wind chills and snow. Today, we climbed to a high of 18 degrees in the city of Toronto. We weren't the warm spots, though. Parts of northern Ontario, in fact, Kapuskasing Casing and Timmins, the big winners there. We were, however, warmer than normal and certainly warmer than we were yesterday. Not quite record warmth, but I don't think anyone was complaining. Overnight tonight, we're looking at a low of 7 degrees. That, too, is warmer than normal. We have a pretty good-looking weekend forecast. We'll talk about that coming up here on CTV News.
During the pandemic, many Canadians have taken up new and old hobbies, and one that's seen a resurgence is the buying and selling of trading cards.
Whether it's hockey, basketball, or Pokemon, eBay says sales of trading cards in Canada more than doubled last year. As Pat Foran tells us on Consumer Alert, it might be time to check the storage. We got a lot of time these days, so sounds like a good idea.
It might, Michelle and Nathan. eBay Canada says last year 1.5 million trading cards were bought and sold through its website. Prices have been increasing steadily, so you may want to check the basement in case you have old cards worth some money.
At Dolly's Toys and Games in Scarborough, the pandemic has made doing business in person more difficult, but owner William Chong says retail online is booming.
Now that a lot of people are staying at home, they're having the opportunity to kind of dig out a lot of these old collections.
Chong says interest in trading cards is being driven by nostalgia, but there is also a lot of money to be made.
A lot of people are now investing in cards and buying cards as investments, so there's a lot more money flowing into this industry.
eBay Canada says the trading card category on its website grew by 110% in 2020 and is on pace for higher growth this year.
It's a global phenomenon that people are getting more into the trading cards and they're having fun with it.
Robert Bigler with eBay says hockey cards are the most popular category. If you can find an older Wayne Gretzky card in excellent condition, you could have a nice payday.
So it was a Canadian that sold a card to an American, Gretzky, of course, a 1979 card that sold last year for $108,000 US.
Basketball cards are also becoming a favorite with collectors, and there is renewed interest in Pokemon cards. One sold last year on the website for $44,000.
Charizard's going well. Pikachu, Mewtwo, those are popular Pokemon cards.
eBay says most cards sell for between $30 and $40, but Chong says he had a customer who found old cards worth almost six figures. He says many people enjoy trading cards as a hobby, but others are treating them as assets like money in the bank.
And if you find old trading cards before you get too excited, they have to be in excellent condition and extremely rare to have any real value. Still, it never hurts to look and then go online to see what they might be worth. Good luck. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
While the stay-at-home order remains in effect, the city is taking steps to make it safer for residents to spend time outdoors.
The physical distancing circles at Trinity Bellwoods Park are making a comeback. You may remember seeing those painted circles on the park grass last year. The city put them in place to make sure people could get some fresh air while remaining safely apart. They're set to be repainted next week. Right now, residents can only gather indoors or outdoors with members of their own households.
Well, this would be a nice evening to hang in a circle. It's 17 degrees right now, and there's more of this to come.
Yeah, any kind of hanging would be good. Hey, Lindsay.
It would be, and I think some people are maybe going to have to opt for their balcony or their backyard, maybe for the time being. But if you can get out for a stroll this evening, it is pretty gorgeous around the GTA, and we deserve it after a little bit of wintry weather earlier this week. Some good news, too, when it comes to the long-range forecast. Weather is brought to you by Trane. For home comfort, cooling, and clean air, it is hard to stop a Trane. Let's begin first with a look at tonight at a glance. 7 degrees is what we're forecasting for a low. That's not so low. In fact, it's slightly warmer than our average overnight low. Winds are going to continue to come out of the west, but they will ease compared to what we're experiencing right now. Tomorrow's high, a little bit of a repeat performance. 17 degrees is what we're calling for. There should be some sun in the morning. Then there will be a little bit of an increase in cloud cover in the afternoon. And by the evening hours, we have our first possibility of maybe experiencing a passing shower. But overall, a pretty good day to spend some time around home, but get out outside and enjoy some fresh air if you can. Current look at the satellite and radar, not much to show you. A little bit of cloud cover around Hamilton, Fort Erie, and the shores of Lake Erie at this time. We're watching a disturbance that's going to brew stateside. This is going to bring some snow to northern Ontario and some rain to the Nickel Belt region and maybe as far south as Muskoka. More steady rain, that is. For us, we have a chance of showers, as mentioned. First, though, the daytime hours Saturday are looking good. There's that increase in cloud cover. Showers will begin across the extreme southwest in the evening. For us, the active weather is likely to occur while most are sleeping. Through the overnight hours, Saturday and into Sunday, might be a little bit of cloud cover early Sunday morning, but then Sunday afternoon is looking good, and Monday is looking quite pleasant. Also, the only change is that it will be a little bit cooler, but this is seasonal. 13 degrees for Sunday, 12 for your Monday. Tuesday, we have an opportunity to climb up to about 20 degrees. The trade-off is going to be a little more in the way of cloud cover, and we're looking a little unsettled through to the end part of next week. That's your seven-day weather forecast. Nathan, over to you.
Thank you, Lindsay. Coming up, a Canadian-developed drug which could help keep people out of hospital during the third wave is sitting on shelves across the country despite doctors calling for its use. We've got the details after the break.
We have breaking news this evening. The province says 36 cases of the B.1.617 variant have been detected here in Ontario. Public Health Ontario tells us six cases were discovered through its genomic surveillance program, all linked to international travel. The other 30 cases were discovered through the airport and land border screening program. The so-called double mutant variant first emerged in India, prompting Canada to suspend passenger flights from that country and Pakistan. We have seen the challenges with having to import COVID-19 vaccines, but there is a drug developed in Canada that could help keep people out of hospital.
It's being used around the world, but not in our own country. CTV's medical specialist Avis Favreau explains why.
A Canadian-developed COVID-19 treatment is sitting on hospital pharmacy shelves across the country. Thousands of doses untouched, say doctors, because no one has a plan on how to administer it. Bamlanivimab is an antibody against COVID disease developed in this Vancouver lab. It mimics the immune system's ability to fight off the virus. Studies show it keeps COVID patients out of the hospital, reducing the risk of death, and is effective against the variant from the UK circulating in Canada. Health Canada approved it for use last fall, buying 26,000 doses for $40 million for the provinces.
One of the key problems is that the drug is challenging to deliver, often to patients sick at home, by intravenous, and within 10 days of their first symptoms.
If you have COVID, you need to get yourself to an emergency room or an infusion center where you can receive this monoclonal. And that's been very difficult to do.
Some say hospitals could set up mobile clinics and infusion centers to get the drug to those who could benefit.
I think these antibodies have particular benefits for people who may not yet have been able to get their vaccine.
And so with cases rising across Canada, there are calls to tap this overlooked tool in the fight to save lives. Avis Favreau, CTV News, Toronto.
And there are other options available to doctors in their fight to help COVID patients, drugs being used to battle other illnesses.
And as our health reporter Pauline Chan tells us, experts say now is the time to aggressively mobilize their use.
Budesonide is an inhaled steroid commonly used to treat asthma and COPD, and a recent UK study shows it can reduce recovery time in COVID-19 patients by 3 days. That not only helps patients, it also helps the healthcare system.
Inhaled budesonide can prevent visits to the emergency department and maybe admission to hospital.
And that's an important thing considering that many hospitals, including Humber River, have had to transport patients around to other hospitals in recent days as ICU spaces run short. Dr. Ian Brask says budesonide is easily available, well-studied, and a safe medication. But it should be given early, especially to those with risk factors like high blood pressure or diabetes.
The greatest bang for your buck with inhaled budesonide is starting it on patients at risk who are still at home.
Another drug, tocilizumab, is known to reduce inflammation, particularly of the blood vessels, and is typically used in autoimmune conditions. It's shown success with COVID patients, but its availability is a little less reliable.
It makes it very difficult for us to know whether to, use it as widely as we would like to, or to have to hold back. You know, I think we should go for it, and that's what I've done. I think these are trying times, and we need to be aggressive to protect Ontarians.
He says there are about 10 steroids like budesonide that could play a key role in reducing hospitalizations. Pauline Chan, CTV News.
It's being called an inconceivable error. The Tennis Channel is receiving criticism for a photo mix-up involving a legend of the game and a Canadian star. The broadcaster used a graphic during its coverage of the Barcelona Open Wednesday that had a photo of Arthur Ashe instead of Felix Auger-Aliassime. Ashe was the first black man to win the U.S. Open, the Australian Open, and Wimbledon. Auger-Aliassime was the only black tennis player on the Tennis Channel's lineup. The 10th seed from Montreal is now out of the tournament after losing today in the quarterfinals to Stefanos Tsitsipas.
Gloria Estefan has confirmed she's set to join the cast of an upcoming remake of Father of the Bride. The remake of the 90s film will focus on a Cuban-American family. Like the original, it'll center on a father coming to terms with his daughter's upcoming marriage. Estefan is set to play the bride's mother, saying she's excited to work with the production team to bring the reimagined story to life.
Time is running out to make your Oscar predictions. The 93rd Academy Awards are happening this weekend. The awards show was delayed from February because of the pandemic, and attendance at LA's Union Station will be limited. There is no predicting exactly who will take home some hardware, especially after such a strange year for the film industry. But many eyes are on Chloe Zhao's Nomadland in the Best Picture category, especially after its win last night at the Independent Spirit Awards. The 93rd Academy Awards will be broadcast this Sunday on CTV. Our coverage begins at 6:30. CTV is a division of Bell Media.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Lastman's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
NACI recommends that the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine may be offered to individuals 30 years of age and older.
Updating our top stories, Ottawa says those 30 and older can be given AstraZeneca shots. However, Ontario is not lowering its age threshold due to a lack of supply of the vaccine right now.
I'm not really that comfortable speaking in public and raising my voice, but they're not acting. We need it now.
Local doctors gathered to express their frustration with the province's vaccine rollout. The calling for more vaccines in hot zones, as well as greater COVID-19 protections in essential workplaces.
As two doubly vaccinated people, we flew to Buffalo and walked across the border.
A trip to the U.S. is just a walk away. There is a steady flow of foot traffic over the border as people seek to avoid the waiting associated with air travel.
And don't forget to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know.
We've seen so many lineups this week of people waiting to get vaccines, only to be told that there is just not enough supply.
And people are turning to online community groups to help them find pop-up clinics. And that's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. We're joined by co-anchors Nick Dixon and Reshmi Nair. Reshmi, you're going to be hearing from a nurse.
Yeah, well, we're going to be talking to people on the ground in some of these hotspot neighborhoods, Nathan, as people try to get their eligible friends vaccinated. We know that in some neighborhoods there are still appointments available, and yet this inequity exists in these hotspots where people are lining up for hours on end, for days on end, and still haven't received a vaccine. So we're going to talk about how neighborhoods and residents on the ground are getting together using online tools like Nextdoor to get people vaccinated.
And Nick, you're going to be talking to an ICU nurse from Ottawa, who's brightening the spirits of patients who just don't have family with them. It's a sad reality.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about this, Michelle and Nathan, for more than a year now. Of course, the reality is if you're in an ICU, you can't have your family. You might be able to see them for a little bit of time on a FaceTime, but you can't actually be there with them. So this ICU nurse has taken it upon herself to sing to these people that are suffering in ICUs alone. It's a beautiful clip that we have, and we're going to be speaking to her. She's actually on shift starting in about 10 minutes time, but she's taken a few minutes out of her shift. They're giving her permission to come and talk to us to explain the inspiration she's offering and the inspiration that she has to do this. It's going to be a pretty remarkable conversation.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you, Nick and Reshmi.
Thanks.
Thank you.
CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar gained to 80.15 cents U.S. American benchmark oil was up 71 cents a barrel to close at 62.14, and the TSX Composite Index gained 70 points to close at 19,102.
After the break, a local thrift store is working to provide families with clothing during the third wave of the pandemic.
Coming up this Saturday on Things to Know TO, Sean Stack of Bromwich & Smith explains how we can break the debt cycle and improve our financial wellness. Sally Spencer of Youth Assisting Youth tells us what they do and highlights the need for mentors. Vikas Kohli of Monstrardity shares more about their virtual arts programs for seniors. And Canadian culinary sensation Mary Berg joins us to talk about her upcoming CTV Life Channel original series currently in production. All this coming up Saturday morning on Things to Know TO.
Now to Toronto Together, where a local thrift store is hosting a clothing drive this weekend.
Lode Store is looking for donations to help families and children in need during the pandemic.
Connecting within our communities is a great way to feel engaged on a different level.
The online thrift store has already donated $2,000 worth of its own inventory to the cause. 85 families will be receiving boxes of gently used items, but the store is hoping the drive will help provide for more. The first drive was held last September in response to the need in the community.
I started receiving just like random Facebook messages asking if I had any leftovers from the store or anything that's just left behind, because there was so much need and a lot of the regular clothing banks and places that people would go for looking for children's clothing wasn't available.
The store will be accepting donations between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. tomorrow at its location on McGee Street. Those interested in supporting this effort can also check out Lode Store's website and Instagram account.
Great cause. Lindsay, how's the weekend looking?
Weekend's looking pretty good. This evening, too, mix of sun and cloud out there. And the sun will set at about 10 minutes after 8 o'clock. Mix of sun and cloud currently. Weekend looks good, especially the daytime hours. But overnight, Saturday into Sunday, unsettled. Long range is unsettled, too. But at least it's mild enough this time for rain. That's your weather. Michelle and Nathan, over to you.
Thanks, Lindsay. And be sure to join Zarada Allman later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 tonight with Reshmi Nair and Nick Dixon begins momentarily on CP24.
For Lindsay and all of us here at CTV News, have a good night, a wonderful weekend.
Good night.